Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet smelling savour. Let's pray. Oh God, we bless you and we are grateful for the opportunity of being in church, and we are thankful for this missions month, Lord, and we thank you for the Harvest magazine ministry. We pray for your blessing upon Brother Thomas and those involved, Lord, and we pray that you would lead, guide and provide, that hearts will be enlarged and people called to the mission field, that souls will ultimately be saved. So we ask for your blessing upon the Harvest ministry this morning. We also pray for Brother Chris Yu as he ministers at the Evangel Church. Anoint him with your spirit as he preaches the word of God. And now, O God, for those of us gathered here in this place, O God, be our teacher, be our guide. For we ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. It seems within the world of social media, people are after followers. Many boast as to how many followers they have. Let me ask you this morning, who do you follow? God wants us to follow him. As it reads then, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God. To follow means to imitate. This word literally means to mimic, to imitate. And Paul challenges these Christians to be imitators of God. As children imitate their parents, we as children of God should demonstrate by our lives that God is our Heavenly Father. Are you a child of God this morning? You cannot be a follower of God unless you are first and foremost a child of God. In John 1:12, the Bible teaches us, but to as many as received him, him in reference to Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Be ye therefore followers of God. You need to make sure first and foremost that you are a child of God. For as it reads then, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Are you a child of God? And does your life, does my life give the evidence of the fact that we are children of God? Within this practical section of the book of Ephesians, from chapters 4, 5 and 6, these believers are instructed to live distinctively Christian within the pagan and prosperous city of Ephesus. We noted there back in chapter 4, verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Wasn't easy for these believers to live distinctively Christian. That's why in chapter 4, verse 1, the apostle talks about walking worthy of the vocation. And then in chapter 4, verse 17, walk not as other Gentiles walk. And now here in chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as ye children, and walk in love. It wasn't easy to follow God. In that day, within that very pagan, prosperous city of Ephesus, may I submit to you, it's not easy today. In fact, it's never been easy to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Down through history, people have had to pay a price to follow God. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And then note then verse number 2, it reads, walk and walk in love. See, true Christian conduct will always be a sharp contrast to the conduct of those that are not Christians. How do we follow God as his cherished children? As it reads in verse 1, as dear children. We are dear to our God. Just like our children are dear to us, we as the children of God are dear to our Heavenly Father. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear, as cherished, valued, precious children. Well, verse 2 gives us the answer, does it not? Look at verse 2 once again. And, let's say it together, walk in love. Let's say it together, walk in love. There it is. Be followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Our love for God is our chief motivation in following God. Our love for God is our motivation to be followers of God, because love is premier. And that's the first main point I want to make this morning. Love is premier. In other words, love is our greatest motivator. The measure of our love will determine our extension for a person or a cause. Quickly go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In verse number 2. 1 Corinthians 13, 2 it reads, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, let's say it together, I am nothing. And look at verse number 13, please. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, the greatest of these is, let's say it together, charity. Charity. Love is our greatest motivator. That's why in 1 Corinthians 16, 14, the Apostle Paul said to these believers, let all things be done with charity. And then he concludes his epistle in verse 24, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Love is premier. And here in Ephesians chapter 5, we are called upon as dear children to be followers of God. And the key to being a follower of God is to walk in love, our love for God being our motivation. Note then verse number 2 once again of Ephesians chapter 5, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. Love is premier. Love is personal. Our love for Jesus Christ is our greatest motivation in following Him. And why do we love the Lord Jesus? Why is God worthy of our love? Well, as it reads in verse number 2, as Christ also hath loved us. God first loved us, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We love him because he first loves us. 1 John 4:19. Is this not the same for us all? Think about it. Our parents chose to love us first. When you and I were born into this world, it wasn't as if our newborn cried, "I love you, Mom! I love you, Dad!" No, they came out screaming. Did they not? But you and I instantaneously chose to what? Love. We love our children first. And then we proved our love for our children. And then in time, our children witnessed that we loved them first. And they experienced the proof of love, then they in turn love us. And this is what the Bible's teaching us here. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Our love for God is on the basis of the fact that God first loved us and he proved his love for us. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. 1 John 3:16. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God first loved us, and he proved his love for us by willingly offering himself as a sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Be followers of God, dear children, and walk in love as Christ has, Christ has exemplified, as Christ has affirmed his love for us and the proof of his love. This should motivate us to love God and to walk in love. And be a follower of God. Be motivated by our love for him. And verse number 2 goes on to teach, for a sweet smelling savour, his sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, became a sweet-smelling savour before God the Father, which he accepted as complete payment for your sin and for my sin. For a sweet-smelling savour. There in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, it refers to Noah's initial building of an altar and presenting a sacrifice to God. And the Bible talks about, and the Lord smelled a sweet savour. God was pleased with Noah's sacrifice. And God gave Noah the assurance that I will no longer destroy the world by water again. And beloved, as we walk in love, it is a sweet smelling savour, a sweet aroma before God. Not only is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, it was well pleasing to God the Father. It was a sweet smelling savour to God the Father. But may I submit to you this morning, the immediate context here is referring to the fact that you and I, being followers of God, as dear children, walking in love, following God, being motivated by our love for God. God, I love you. I'm prepared to do whatever you want me to do. I'm prepared to go wherever you want me to go. I'm prepared to say whatever you want me to say, because I love you. Do you love God? Do you really love God? Be followers of God, dear children, and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us first. Proved his love for us first and foremost by dying on the cross for my sin. That's love. Christ died that I might live. Christ died that I might have hope, forgiveness, eternal life. Walk in love. And as we walk in love, it is a sweet smelling savour or aroma before God. Is your life, is my life a sweet aroma before God? Or is your life an unpleasant smell in God's nostrils? Or is your life a sweet fragrance before God? Ladies like to be commended in this way. You smell nice. Now, you never say that to a man. And we know what's meant by that, do we not? I love your fragrance. You smell nice. I love your fragrance. Could it be said of you and I that God loves our fragrance? Could God the Father say of you? Could God the Father say of me? My child, you smell nice. You smell nice today. Do you love the Lord? If we do, we will follow God. If we do, we will be a follower of God with love for him being our chief motivation. It is our loyal love for Jesus Christ that will keep us on track and in the race spiritually. That's why I note there in Ephesians chapter 3, the third chapter, quickly go back to Ephesians chapter 3, in verse number 19, it reads, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." To know the love of Christ, to know and experience how much God loves me, and in turn that you and I will respond by loving him. To experience the love of God from our parents, And to get a taste of how much they love us should automatically result in you and I loving them more so. It is our loyal love for Jesus Christ that will keep us on track spiritually. Walk in love. Quickly, Revelation chapter 2, verse number 4. Our Lord Jesus addresses the church at Ephesus, and note what he said here in Revelation 2, 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast what? Left thy first love. Not lost. You can't lose your first love. We cannot be disconnected from Jesus Christ. If you and I have received Jesus Christ as Savior, we are born into God's family, and nothing will ever separate you and I from the love of God. But you and I can grow apart. Thou hast left thy first love. So if you connect that back with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, where he exhorts these believers to walk in love. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Why? Because Christ loved us first. And Christ proved his love for us. His sacrifice was a sweet fragrance before God the Father, and providing life eternal for you and I. And your life, my life, as a Bible-believing Christian, can be a sweet fragrance before our Heavenly Father as we walk in love as followers of God. Now note there with me in Ephesians chapter 5, the third verse. Are you with me? The verse begins with a word. Let's say it together. But. Walk in love, but. So with the word but, Paul deals with some distortions of what love is and how we experience love. And that's the essence of verses 3, 4, and 5. The devil has always had his counterfeits. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, it talks about another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. In fact, the word antichrist means literally in place of. An antichrist is to replace my love for Christ with another Christ. So walk in love. Be followers of God, dear children. But beware of these perversions of love. In God's people being challenged to be followers of God by walking in love, their love for God being their motivation, these believers were to be aware of the perversions, that which is contrary, that which is false, perversions of love that will rob you and I of our full love devotion for Jesus Christ. King Solomon is a classic example. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse number 3, he had 700 wives and 300 girlfriends. What a madman. And no wonder his heart was turned away from God. So the Apostle Paul is exhorting these believers, be followers of God as cherished children. We are cherished. We are loved. God has chosen to love us first and foremost, and God has proven his love for us by dying on the cross and providing forgiveness, eternal life. Walk in love. But beware of these perversions. And he names the perversions there in verse number 3, but fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Fornication comes from a word porneia. We get the word pornography in reference to illicit sexual activity driven by lust, where individuals are looking at pornography or being involved in sexual immorality outside of marriage or within marriage, referred to as adultery. But fornication, beware of these perversions of love. Then he talks about uncleanness there in verse number 3. Fornication is in reference to illicit sexual activity, but the word uncleanness, listen to me carefully, is referring to distorted sexual activity. Distorted sexual activity, such as incest and sodomy. Sodomy is a distortion of sexual activity. Men with men, women with women, the Bible talks about working that which is unseemly before God. And God calls sodomy an abomination. And we ought to call it an abomination. God made one man for one woman for life. Amen. Are we on the same team? Uncleanness, distorted. How ridiculous that our premier led the state, so-called, in apologizing to the Sodomite community a couple of weeks ago. What nonsense. God deliver us. Uncleanness, distorted sexual activity. But also note here in verse number 3, walk in love, verse 2, but fornication, uncleanness, or, let's say it together, covetousness. What is covetousness? It is inordinate love for earthly things. That's what it is. Materialism. One of the Ten Commandments. Last but certainly not least. Thou shalt not covet. Self-will, self-gratification, self-centeredness are all forms of greed. And it's sobering that God places, listen to me, covetousness with fornication and uncleanness. Wow! Let me ask you this morning, are you always pining for some things? Or things newer? Or things bigger? Or things better? Or things more expensive? You're covetous. That's perverted love. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. This is the opposite of contentment. It is a perversion of what should be our chief love. And note then verse number 3, it reads, let it not be once named among you as become saints. It should not be said of you, said the Apostle Paul under divine inspiration, that you are a fornicator, that you are unclean, and that you are covetous. Then note then verse number 4. In verse number 3, he talks about lifestyle perversions of love. The lifestyle of a perversion, of a person that's perverted when it comes to love. They're involved in fornication, uncleanness, they're covetous. Verse number 4 talks about the talk of an individual that has a perverted understanding of love. Note then verse number 4, neither filthiness. That word means obscenity. Talk that is immoral. That jars, disturbs your spirit. Filthiness. I'm sure at times you've said to yourself, that person has a filthy tongue. Then it goes on to say, verse number 4, foolish talking. The word foolish here comes from a word, moros. Sometimes we make the statement, that's morose. That's foolish. That's stupid. It's the opposite of wisdom. And when it comes to this area of love, there are people out there that are talking foolishly, are they not? Making statements like, why marry? What's wrong with just living together? Everything. The Bible calls it fornication. Filthiness, foolish talking. And note then verse number 4, it also teaches us jesting. This is in reference to suggestive or provocative speech. Manipulating words, twisting words to convey some type of obscenity. Talking code, filthy. And note then verse number 4 goes on to read, which are not convenient. Certainly not. Word convenient means to be fitting. Don't fit. Don't fit the child of God. It should not be said of the child of God. Being involved in filthy talk, foolish talking, jesting. But then it reads, verse 4, but rather giving of thanks. That's fitting of a Christian, is it not? Appropriate from the lips of a Christian, giving thanks. Does your life and lips give evidence that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? That you are walking in love? Motivated by your love for Jesus Christ. And this presents a sweet aroma before God the Father. The note verse 5. For this ye know, this ye know, said the Apostle Paul, punishment for those that involved in perverted love. So the perversions of love, the lifestyle of a perverted individual. Verse number 3, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. The talk of a perverted individual, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. And here in verse number 5, the punishment. For this ye know, the punishment for those that live according to a perverted standard of love. Those that do not walk in love, those that are not followers of God, they are not dear children. Note verse number 5, for this ye know, that no whoremongers, pornos, to sell, prostitution, for this ye know, that no whoremongers, prostitutes, or unclean person, and other sexual perversions. And then note then verse number 5, it goes on to read, nor covetous man. But note the next little phrase here. You still with me? I'm almost done. Bear with me. I'm getting to my punchline. Look at this. Who is an, let's say it together. Who's the idolater? The covetous person. If you're covetous, you are an idolater. You are into idolatry. And what could possibly break the heart of God more so than idolatry? No whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. Idolatry is anything that comes before God. And then note there at the end of verse 5, it goes on to read, for this ye know. He's clarifying what these believers know. That the whoremonger, the unclean person, the covetous person, those that continue in these perversions of biblical love, a love for God. Note verse 5, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Those that continue in these lifestyles give proof of the fact that they are not a part of God's kingdom. Those that continue in these practices give evidence that they are not a part of God's kingdom. Jesus said, except the man be born again, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. A Christian can stumble. Listen to me. A Christian can slip. A Christian can fall into such sins. And this is what the Apostle Paul is warning against. Let it not be once named among you, which are not convenient for you. Guard your life, Christian, the Apostle Paul is saying. Nobody's exempt. We can all stumble and fall. But those that continue in these perversions, their lifestyle is full of fornication and uncleanness and covetousness. Those individuals give evidence that they are not a part of the kingdom of God. They don't belong to Christ. They're not part of God's domain. But for those of us that are Christians, we can stumble and we can slip and we can fall into such sins of the flesh. Like King David of old, but he got up and he confessed and he got right with God and he went on for God. Amen. There's a difference. There's a vast difference. Be followers of God by walking in love. Walking in love for the Lord. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us first. And Christ proved his love for us. And the Apostle Paul is exhorting these believers that they need to follow God, and we prove our fellowship by walking in love, following our Lord because we love him. I trust that you and I, as parents, are raising children that we have proven our love to. And they, in turn, because of their honor for us, they choose to obey. They choose to follow. Because they know they're loved. But fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. Not fitting of a Christian. Because you know, all whoremongers, all uncleanness, all covetousness, which is idolatry, those that continue in these lifestyles, day in, day out, without any remorse, without any conscience, they give the evidence that they are not a part of the kingdom of God. But you and I, in contrast, we are to be followers of God as dear children, cherished children, walk in love. Be followers of God by walking in love. Our love for God being our chief motivation. As part of the marriage ritual, we make this statement. May love be ever enthroned on your united hearts. Don't you remember me saying that? I'm reminding you, for those of you that were married here. May love be enthroned on your united hearts. And may this be said of us for God. May our love for God be our chief motivation. My friend, is your life a sweet aroma before God? Or is your life an unpleasant stink before God? Does your life irritate God? Is your life on the nose to God? Or is your life a sweet aroma? Where God could say of you and I, my son, you smell nice today. You smell nice today. Followers of God by walking in love. Let's pray.